Okay, so my name's Tim Jones and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 3rd of September 2009 and the time is 3:15 in the afternoon. Can you tell me your name, your age and where you come from?
I'm called Paula Curran, I'm 40 and I'm from Manchester.
Okay, when was it you found out about the One Another project?
Oh, I was off work on holiday. Possibly about 3 months ago, and I was looking for a gallery to go through, browsing, came across Anthony Gormley's site and just saw it on there and thought, that sounds like fun, I'll apply for that. Didn't think I had any chance of getting here today, but hey presto, here I am.
And how did you feel when you received the email to say you'd be allocated?
Oh, thrilled, yeah, thrilled. I was dead giddy, and I told my partner, and he just had, just like, what are you talking about? I had no idea what I was talking about, and so yeah, very excited. Now as the dates come closer, I've been getting more and more nervous, but very excited, yeah.
So what is it you're going to do when you're on the plane?
Well, I'm not going to set the world on fire, certainly. My plans have changed, actually. I'm a big Man City fan, so my plans at first was just to watch old derby games of Man City beating Man United and just laughing inappropriately. But then I decided it might rain, so I changed my plans and I asked my friends and family to choose like songs written by Mancunians or Manchester poets, and basically I'm going to read my way through them kind of as a tribute to friends and family. That's it.
So tell us a little bit about your background then. So did you grow up in Manchester?
Yeah, I lived in Manchester most of my life, moved to London late 80s, I lived here for 4 years, but then wanted to buy a house, so run back up north, seemed a sensible thing to do in order to be able to afford to buy a house. I'm a social worker, I work in mental health, so I have a very, very straight, very stressful, very serious job. But yeah, I've got a 2-year-old son, Leon. I waited till I was almost too old to have children and then started having children. Used to be a big clubber, but now I've just calmed down a lot, and it's you know, friends and dinner parties and all those sensible type of things like that.
What was it they got you into clubbing in the first place? I'll pick out
clubbing. Well, I suppose prior to being a social worker, I used to work in this place called Afflex Palace during the Mad Madchester era, as it was called at the time. Used to go to the Hacienda 5-6 nights a week. Get off my head. Spent a long period of time doing things I perhaps shouldn't be doing. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, living in Manchester at that time, it was just, you know, I was at that age, that was just our thing really, you know, that's what we did. And working in Affleck's Palace, that's where everyone used to come for the big and baggy clothes. And when I'm having a bad day at work now, I often think back to that time thinking, God, I wish selling shoes was like the biggest worry that I had, you know, and I just got into clubbing through there. We used to get freebies into all the clubs and stuff, so that was it really.
Have you got any kind of memorable stories when you were working in Affleck's Palace?
I suppose the only one I can think of, we had quite a lot of famous people, I suppose, that would be perceived as famous now, but I remember the first time Take That coming, which was very early days, and they were shooting some video in there, and we were just all laughing our heads off. There was all these bright orange teenage boys that looked like they was made up to look camp or as gay as possible with like this orange makeup on, and we was just like laughing. And then, you know, before we knew it, there was one of the biggest bands, you know, and we was really, really surprised. But no, not really got any wild stories. Used to be drunk at work, which I can't believe now. We used to be so drunk that we couldn't actually do our jobs properly. I was supposed to be the manager. We used to send customers up the ladders to help themselves to shoes and stuff like that. And yeah, just silliness, really.
And how long did you do that for?
I did that for probably about 5-6 years. I run all the, it was Red or Dead, the shop was called. We used to run all the Red or Dead shops in Afflecks. And then we was made redundant, which kind of jerked me into a life of, you know, getting a proper job, and started working with homeless people, and I've done that for a huge portion of my life before I went into social work. That's what brought me down to London.
What was that like coming down to London and having that drastic change and working with homeless people?
quite shocking, really, the difference. And I suppose, you know, prior to moving to London, I worked with homeless people in Manchester for a while. And just the difference, you know, in London, I suppose, I came to accept some people didn't have the option about being homeless. You know, there just simply isn't enough temporary accommodation and stuff. Where in Manchester, certainly at the time, that wasn't the case. There was enough places for people not to be homeless. I mean, don't get me wrong, a lot of people was banned from accommodation, so that I suppose in that respect they had no choice. But and I was shocked by the amount of people that didn't know there was an alternative. You know, guys who'd been in the army or blokes who'd been booted out by the missus and just didn't know there was an option to be on the street. So yeah, it was quite grim, really, but you know, pretty rewarding all the same.
And what do you think, why did you kind of choose that area to work in?
I have no idea. I really couldn't answer that. I really don't know at all. I'm not quite sure what drove me down that path. When I first applied to become a social worker, I mean, that's the type of questions you ask. You know, why, what happened in your youth? Tell me about your background, was it, you know? And I was brought up with like regular working class background, nothing, you know, nothing to worry about, no beatings, no anything, you know. And people, it's like, you know, I've been grilled quite a lot when I was getting into social work to say, why did you choose this path? And I really couldn't answer it. Maybe because it was such a stark contrast to the messing about in Affleck's Palace, being drunk at work, I don't know. I suppose we all reach that point in our life, unfortunately, where you kind of feel you have to get a sensible job and grow up and do grown-up things like buy houses and stuff.
So how do you find being a social worker now and back up in Manchester again?
Good. I enjoy it most days, yeah. I enjoy it most days. I mean, I work with people with severe mental health problems now, but we have a real issue in Manchester of lack of beds, so that's kind of the most stressful element of my job, is people needing to go in hospital and having no beds to go into, you know. But yeah, I really do enjoy it. I find it really rewarding.
And what is it you're going to do on the plinth?
I'm going to read. I asked my friends and family to basically make requests of songs or poems by Manchester based people, not Manchester based people, Mancunians basically, and they've all chose various songs, and one degree or another, some are absolutely awful and some are great, but I purposely didn't, you know, pick and choose. I'm just doing what people have asked me to do basically, and I'm going to dedicate them to friends and family members, and that's it.
And what does London and Trafalgar Square mean to you? How does it feel to be down here part of one another project?
Well, I suppose because I lived in London, you know, for 4 years, it's not like ooh that big London or whatever. Do you know what I mean? I had a good experience when I lived here, but I'm very glad not to be living here now. But yeah, I'm not kind of in awe of it, like, you know, big city or whatever. I mean, I love Manchester. You know, I'm a massive fan of Manchester. So yeah, it's great, and it's great to be part of Gormley's projects. You know, I really like Gormley. Went to see stuff on the beach in Formby, that's relatively near where we live, you know. So yeah, I'm very excited in that respect.
And how about being a piece of art?
That's very on me, really, you know. I mean, I like to go to galleries and things, but I've never been a piece of art before. I think my friends are quite shocked, really, you know, to hear that I'm doing it. And a lot of them are going to be watching on the net, probably hoping to watch me cry or do something ridiculous, you know, make a fool of myself. But I'm happy with that. You know, it'll give my friends and family a laugh. It's okay to be laughed at every now and then, you know. I think it does us all good. So yeah, really excited. As I say, I think a lot of people will be shocked. It's not the type of thing that would expect me to do.
And who would you say you're doing this for?
Oh, definitely me, because it is so far out of my comfort zone, it's unbelievable. So yeah, totally me. Not really that interested about what the people in the square think. Could do without getting a load of grief, I suppose, but it doesn't worry me too much, you know. At the end of the day, like I was saying to my partner on the way up, it's not like as scary as having a baby or doing an exam, do you know what I mean? It's great and it's interesting, but without trying to sound disrespectful, it's not that important. If I make an ass of myself, I make an ass of myself. It doesn't really matter, does it, in the big scheme of things, you know? So yeah, definitely me, I'd say.
And can you tell us a little bit about the bigger things then? Tell us a little bit about your partner and your two-year-olds.
Partner called Matt. He civil engineer, very boring job. Great guy, unlike anyone I've ever been out with before. Very sensible, very straight laced. So I've got a two-year-old called Leon, who's absolutely adorable. Who's going to be completely freaked today. He's in Trafalgar Square now with his dad, and it's going to be wondering what on earth's going on. But yeah, I'm pregnant, so I suppose that's the biggest thing in my mind at the moment is, oh my God, I'm 40, like the oldest, one of the oldest mums in the world, having another baby. You know, it's that type of thing, what's important to me. And the same with friends. Friends are very important. And family are the bigger, you know, my family. Very close-knit.
So what would you say there? I'm sure you've mentioned it. I mean, the most important things to you at the moment then in your life?
Family, I suppose, yeah. The unborn baby, I think it's going to have to be number one at the moment, I would say, in the pecking order. And then my son, my partner, mum, dad, sister, granddad, you know, family members in that way, and friends.
And what hopes and plans do you have for the future?
Oh my word, I don't know, I don't know what, you know, I sometimes think, I wonder what I'm going to do when I grow up. I still don't know, you know, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. Do I want to leave social work and do something else? Just to be happy with my family, really. Yeah, I don't have any great aspirations, you know, I don't want to rule the world or even become like a manager of social services or anything. I'm kind of a bit of a plodder, I suppose. Happy to plod and get on with my life as it is. I'm happy enough.
And what fears do you have?
Fears. It'd have to be the health of people around me. And as I say, you know, I hate to dwell on it at the moment, but the health of the unborn baby, because it's quite early months, you know. So yeah, no major fears, you know. I suppose I'm in quite a relatively lucky position. I'm financially okay, and you know, I've not got that type of stuff to worry about, which a lot of my friends have, and I've certainly had in the past. Although I'm not blasé about these things, you know, I don't have any major fears or worries.
And how are you feeling just before you go on the pin?
Excited and nervous, yeah. I suppose I can't wait to get going, really. I'm just going to try and focus on my friends and family that are in Trafalgar Square, not think too much about my mates that are in, you know, Australia, New Zealand, and all my workmates who've got me on the big whiteboard at work, you know. So I'm going to try and stay focused on what's there in front of me.
And what kind of response are you hoping for? You mentioned that you didn't really care what people
yeah.
In the square. How about on you?
I'd like to not be too, you know, have too much shouting going on. I'm a bit of a swearer, so I'm a bit apprehensive about swearing, and I'm sure it doesn't matter too much, you know, certainly in comparison to what we've seen on the plinth today. But I don't want, you know, granddad, etc., to be watching and I'm effing this and effing that. So that's my only worry, is that, you know, if people start shouting back, and then we get into some kind of, you know, weird comedian and someone giving me abuse. I don't know. That's my only fear, really, is someone giving me loads of grief, and I start giving them grief back without quite thinking what I'm doing. But I have told my mates in the square, you know, if I start going off on a tangent or doing anything too stupid, give us a quick bell and tell me to chill out, you know, keep me focused.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you.